Go and rejoice in God's love. We serve a God who is not distant. He is not indifferent. He is a God who delights in his people. And, you know, he even rejoices over us with singing. Zephaniah, perhaps a book of the Bible that you haven't encountered that often. Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 17 declares, "For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Saviour. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love he will calm all your fears, and he will rejoice over you with joyful songs." This verse was written at a time of great turmoil for Israel, and it really is a declaration of God's unshakable love and God's presence. It's a verse that reminds us that no matter what the circumstances are, that God is not only near us, but he delights in us. He saves us and he sings over us. There's four key truths that I want to draw out from this powerful verse this morning. God is living amongst us. God is our mighty Saviour. God delights in us with gladness, and God sings over us. So the first point, God is living amongst us. Zephaniah 3:17 begins with this profound truth. The Lord your God is living among you. The Hebrew word used here for living is karab. It means to be near, to draw close. It reflects the fact that God has an intimate relationship with his people. He's not God somewhere out there. He's God with us. God wants to be in relationship with his people. He wants us to spend time with him. He wants us to be in his presence, knowingly be in his presence. I mean, yes, he's always with us, but how often do we actually acknowledge throughout our day that we know that God is there? I would suggest that quite often we rush into the day. Maybe we'll read a verse of scripture. Maybe we'll say a short prayer. And then for a few hours, perhaps, we can forget that God is with us. But God is with us. Emmanuel is with us. Matthew 1 verse 23, it's normally spoken of at Christmas. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. The presence of God, it's not limited to ancient Israel. It's not limited to just during Bible times. Through Christ, God came to dwell with humanity. Jesus, our Emmanuel, God with us. And today, through the presence of the Holy Spirit, his presence remains with us, abides with us every single day. Let me ask you a question. Do you live as though God is near? Do you notice his presence? Do you acknowledge his presence in your daily life? Or do you spend your day hiding from God? The reality is we can't hide from God. And when we realise that he's always with us, perhaps our perspective on trials, our perspective on blessings, that will change. When we go through a trial, when we go through a difficult circumstance, knowing that God is with us should change our attitude to that situation. The preacher and author Max Lucado said this, "We may feel lost at times, but we are never lost to God. He is always present." Max's words here, they're a powerful reminder of biblical truth. No matter how lost we may feel, God will never lose sight of us. If we try and hide ourselves away, if we try to run away, God can still see us exactly where we are. Psalm 139 verses 7 to 10 declare it this way. "I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me." Have you ever had one of those moments in your life when you felt adrift, when you felt uncertain, when you felt overwhelmed? Okay, none of you have, that's fine. It's obviously just me. We all have those moments, don't we? Life just presses in. The circumstance arises. I'm going to use Andrew and Brian as an example. The other day they were waiting here for the surveyor to come to look at the drains in the car park. And the guy was supposed to be here at 8 o'clock in the morning. He didn't arrive until 10 to 12. Now they were uncertain, when was this guy going to arrive? They'd rang the office and they were told, he's stuck in traffic. Where? On the moon? And there was a lack of communication going on that caused some uncertainty about where this person was. And the person that Brian and Andrea spoke to said, he'll call you when he's 40 minutes away. That's a big area. And if he's stuck in traffic, how does he know it's only going to take 40 minutes from that moment to get here? So that guy had uncertainty in his life. Thankfully, our dear brother and sister know that testings and trials refine our faith. So they waited patiently, as patiently as you can when someone's 3 hours late, 4 hours late. But they didn't feel adrift. They knew that God was with them and that even in this circumstance, God was working out his purposes. And actually, the purpose that was revealed was that Andrea should go shopping while Brian stayed here away. Bless you, brother, for your grace. Situations happen. That was something that perhaps they would have rather avoided. That's 4 hours of their life that they're not going to recover. And yet, God is faithful. God is faithful even in that. Now, they might have been upset. They might have been unhappy. But our feelings, they don't define our reality, do they? God defines our reality. Our God, he is the good shepherd. He seeks out the lost. He is the loving father who watches and waits for the prodigal to return. God is our ever-present help in times of trouble. If we feel lost, if we feel disheartened, we must remember that God is not distant, that he is with us, that he is near, that he is faithful, and that we are always in his presence. Even if you're waiting for a drain surveyor to turn up to look at your car park. God is good. Second point, God is our mighty saviour. Zephaniah states God is a mighty saviour. The Hebrew phrase he uses here is Gibor Yashar. That means a warrior that brings victory. Our God, he's not passive. He's not distant. He is an active rescuer. He is our deliverer. In every circumstance, in every situation, our soul is secure in the Lord. Isaiah 43 verse 11 says, I am the Lord, and there is no other saviour. Throughout scripture, God reveals himself as the ultimate saviour. First, he delivers Israel from Egypt, and then ultimately, all who believe will be saved through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one who saves us from sin and death. Jesus is the one who brings us from darkness into his marvelous light. Jesus is the only way, the only truth, the only life, the only way of salvation. But the question is, are we relying on our own strength? There are many in the world that rely on their own strength. But do we really trust God as our mighty saviour? The Bible is clear. Our God fights for us. He redeems us. In him we have the victory. In him Satan is already the defeated foe. And he can have no dominion over us. For we are children of the living God. A lifeguard doesn't wait for a drowning person to rescue themselves, does he? The lifeguard will dive in, swim out to save the person that's in trouble. In the same way, God doesn't wait for us to fix ourselves. He rescues us, and all we have to do is call out to him. There are those in the world that are perhaps too proud to call out to God. There are those in the world that will use God or Jesus as a swear word rather than as a cry for help. Jesus is able to save, and he will save everyone who comes to him in faith. The preacher and author John Piper said this: Jesus does not just make salvation possible, he makes it certain for those who trust in him. John Piper's words here, they beautifully reflect the absolute assurance that we have in Christ. Salvation is not just a possibility, it's a certainty for those who trust in him. But there are those that will refuse to trust. There are those who think there must be another way. But Jesus is the only way. And he calls us to tell others about him, to share the good news of the gospel, to explain to people how they can be in relationship with God themselves. And the wonderful truth is that that's when we receive the gift of eternal life. John chapter 10, verses 28 to 29 records the promise that Jesus gave. I give them eternal life. They will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me. For my Father has given them to me, and he is more powerful than anyone else. No one can snatch them from the Father's hand. Our salvation doesn't rest on our own efforts. It doesn't rest on our goodness or godliness. It doesn't rest on our ability to hold on to Jesus, because he holds us. Our faith, our salvation rests on the finished work of Christ at the cross. He endured to the end. He suffered, he bled, he died. But praise God, he rose again, triumphant over death, triumphant over sin. And in his sacrifice and resurrection, we are healed. We are made whole because of what Christ has done. Christ's finished work on the cross is what sets us free. Sets us free from the burden of our sin. Sets us free from the trials and tribulations that we would face if we were on our own. Because God is with us. For those who place their trust in Jesus, salvation is not uncertain. It's not fragile. It is guaranteed. Guaranteed in the blood of Jesus. His grace is sufficient. His promises are unbreakable. His love is eternal. Friends, today we can live in confidence. Not confident in ourselves, but confident in him who is able to save completely. He is faithful. Third point, God delights in us with gladness. This verse continues, he will take delight in you with gladness. Do you realize you delight your Lord? Do you ever think of how you bring a smile to God's face? The Hebrew word sus that's used means to rejoice greatly, to exult. This tells us that God takes great pleasure in his people. Psalm 149 verse 4. For the Lord delights in his people. He crowns the humble with victory. Isn't this an incredible thought? The creator of the universe, the creator of everything, delights in you. You, 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 even you. Feels strange, doesn't it? God doesn't merely tolerate us. He rejoices over us. If you ever feel like you're less than nothing in the eyes of the world, Remember, God rejoices about you. He rejoices over you. Do we truly believe that God delights in us? Be honest. Hope so. I mean, the word of God says he does, and the word of God doesn't lie, does it? And maybe we, in ourselves, we feel unworthy. But we have to remember that God's love is not based on our performance. His love is based on his grace. Preacher and author Tim Keller, he wrote this: God's love for us is not greater when we are good, and it's not lesser when we fail. Oh, the overwhelming, unchanging, unfailing love of God. We sang that earlier, didn't we? He chases us down. There's no mountain he won't climb up. There's no wall that he won't break down. He seeks the lost. And he finds us. And when he finds us, when we repent, we come into relationship with him. A relationship that's not based on our performance. It's not based on who we are. Our relationship, our salvation is based on his character, his love, his mercy. Romans 5:8 declares this: but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. We didn't have to get right, first of all. We didn't have to try and clean ourselves up. We didn't have to try and live in a certain way before coming to Jesus as Lord and Saviour. We came as we were, in repentance, in faith, and God accepted us because of the sacrifice of Jesus. His love is faithful, his love is constant, his love is unconditional. And maybe too often we fall into this trap of thinking that we're doing well spiritually. You know, I read my Bible at least once a week. And you know, I go to church on a Sunday. Well, I kind of have to, really, because this is my job. But and yeah, you know, I try to live in a way that I can tolerate. We're meant to be sold out for the Lord. Every moment of every day, God loves us when we are near to him or when we're far from him. He loves us the same. He continues to pour out his love on us. But because we are meant to love him, we should want to be in relationship with him. We should want to learn about him. We should want to know more of him. We should want him to be at the center of our lives. I'm so thankful for the grace of God. I'm so thankful that even though I'm not perfect, and I will never be perfect until God calls me into glory, that even as I am now, even as we are now, God still loves us. And his grace abounds towards us. And he sings over us. He delights in us. He rejoices in us. Let me share a great truth with you. Lamentations 3:22-23. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. We can't exhaust the love of God. We can't exhaust the grace of God. He was with us yesterday. He's with us today. He'll be with us tomorrow. And his love is consistent. Our earthly love, it's not consistent. There are times when perhaps we feel closer to some people. And there are times when we feel distant. There are times when we fail, yet his love remains. But no matter how good a Christian we are, we can't earn more of his love because he loves us all the same. His love is unconditional. His love is perfect. His love is true. Our standing before God is secure all because of Jesus, not because of us. So today we can rest in his perfect love, a love that does not change, a love that does not waver, a love that is always more than enough. Because he cares. Fourth point, God sings over us. Zephaniah's final statement, it's absolutely breathtaking. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. The Hebrew phrase renah, it means a ringing cry of joy. And the image here is of God singing over his people the way that perhaps a loving parent sings over their child. That sense of love, that sense of togetherness, that sense of comfort that comes to a child held in the arms of their parent. Isaiah 62:5 says this, your children will commit themselves to you, O Jerusalem, just as a young man commits himself to his bride. Then God will rejoice over you as a bridegroom rejoices over his bride. God's love is deep. God's love is passionate. God's love causes him to sing over us, his people. Have you ever imagined God singing over you? I mean, we want to hear his voice. We want to listen. And sometimes there are things in the world that we need to block out so that we can truly focus on the voice of God. The mother rocking her newborn baby, softly singing a lullaby. That is the tenderness with which God loves us. It's incredible. It's mind-blowing. I mean, we so often hear sermons about how God's love has saved us, how in his mercy he sent Jesus. But I don't think we really dig into the depths of the love that God has for us. Consider the words of Louis Gigolo. God's song over us is louder than our fears, our doubts, and our failures. There's a beautiful biblical truth here that we're reminded of. God's voice, love, promises, they're greater than anything that we might face in this life. As believers, we must choose to listen to his voice, to push out the noise of the world, to trust his love. To trust his love when we have doubts, to trust his love when there's a problem that comes. To trust his love, to stand on the promises of his word, to have unwavering faith. Because God is God and will be and continues to be the unchanging great I am. The storms of life, they may rage, but God remains constant. God remains faithful. God remains greater than any circumstance or situation that we might encounter. He is able. Let's listen to Zephaniah 3:17 again. For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Saviour. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. Is this verse an encouragement to you this morning? Is it bringing a smile to your face, a warmth to your heart? God himself sings over us. And he's not singing a song of condemnation. He's not singing a song of disappointment. He's singing a song of love and grace and victory. We all battle fears, we all battle doubts, we all battle failures. But none of those things define us. Who we are in Christ, who God defines us as, that's who we are. I'm sure you know that there's no louder voice than the enemy's accusations. He may shout them at us, the enemy may whisper them in our ears, But the truth of God is greater than our insecurities. His grace is stronger than our shortcomings. When fear tries to paralyze us, God sings truth into our lives. He sings peace into our lives. When the doubts are whispered, God sings truth. When failure tells us that we're not enough, God tells us and sings to us about his unfailing love. So today, let's choose to listen to his song over us. Let's choose to listen to the song of redemption, the song of strength, the song of unshakable love. May I encourage you, let the voice of God be the loudest voice that you hear in your life. Go and embrace God's love today. This is a verse of hope. It reminds us of God's presence. It reminds us of our salvation in him. It reminds us of his delight in us. It reminds us that he joyfully sings over us. This week, remember, when God is with us, we're never alone. God is our mighty Saviour. He is our rescuer. He is our Redeemer. Remember this week that God delights in you and you bring him joy. And remember, God sings over us. His love is active. His love is personal. He cares about each and every one of us. Let me give you a call to action as an application to this what we've heard this morning. If you feel distant from God, go and remember that he is near. If you are struggling, go and trust in him as your mighty Saviour. If you feel unworthy, go and rejoice that he delights in you. And if you feel discouraged, go and listen to his song over you. Our God is with us. Perhaps you've never accepted Jesus as your Saviour. Perhaps you've, in that place in your life, in your walk with him, where you've actually fallen away. Let me remind you that the greatest expression of God's love was sending Jesus to die for our sins, to rise again. In him we have eternal life, the promise of eternal life. Romans 10:9 says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. May each of us know that to be true in our own lives. And may we be willing to share that truth with others, that they too may know Jesus as Lord and Saviour and know the joy of being saved. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for your love. And I thank you that your love is consistent, that though we may go through highs and lows in our lives, though we may face difficult circumstances, I thank you that you are with us. I thank you that your grace is sufficient for us, that your mercy, your love are sufficient. Help us to walk day by day. Help us to look to you. Help us to trust in you. Help us to rejoice knowing that you are singing over us and that you are caring about every detail of our lives. Help us to share the truth of who you are with others, and help us to continue to walk the narrow path that leads to you. May we not be distracted by the things of the world, but may we be fully focused on you. Help us to love you more. Help us to love others. Help us to trust you, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Friends, let's go this week. Go and rejoice in God's love for us. We're loved, we're cherished, and we're rejoiced over by our Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love towards each and every one of us. Thank you, Lord, that you care about the detail of our lives. And Lord, we've brought before you in prayer people and situations this morning. And I thank you that in your love, in your mercy, you will move. I pray, Lord, for those that need healing, that you would bring healing. For those that need to know that you are near, they will sense your presence more and more in their lives. For families who are grieving, Lord, because of circumstance or situation, I pray that you would draw near to them, that you would be their strength, their shield. And for ourselves, Lord, I pray that you would go before us as we enter into this fresh week, and that you would help us. Help us day by day to look to you, to draw strength from you, to know that you are King. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, and pray that you will help us to continue to walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's say the words of the grace to one another. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and evermore. Amen.